This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go!
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back here on a Thursday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. You're not going to be surprised. I think Vinny's going to take a lot of big chunk bets on that Bengals money line because just the vibe is there's just so much Bengal love. Don't you sense that as well?
You know, it really is fascinating. The love of the Bengals is certainly attached to Joe Burrow. It's attached to the LSU title. It's attached to his play in the tournament. And so, and that continues to evolve and continues to grow. And really, you know, if you said, who's the MVP of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, the perception would be, oh, there's no doubt it's Joe Burrow. Without Joe Burrow, they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be, have won three games, when that is got some merit to it. But it's not true at all. I mean, the MVP, the guy that made it happen, is McPherson, the kicker. You know, he's the one who's made it happen. And the fact that Burrow was able to not turn the ball over when he was sacked all those times and has only thrown two interceptions, you know, to me is somewhat remarkable. But I would not say, you know, just as an example, Burrow compared to Matthew Stafford's three games, Burrow averages 7.7 a pass. Stafford's at 9.0. I mean, you know, Stafford's thrown six touchdowns. But once again, you know, and this is where we have to be very careful as a betting network and betting, is this momentum is really carrying over. It's really carrying over. And you're not willing to really look at the game objectively. And I think this is why oftentimes Super Bowls get a little bit confusing in terms of betting, because we let the perception rule the avenue.
I think you're right. Can we throw up the game board, Matt Santos? I just want a little lesson here quickly. The Rams, so you see it, they're laying four. So let's think about this. If you're a Rams bettor, okay, and you want to buy a point, you want to buy it down to three, you're going to be paying $1.40 on the juice. So does that make sense? $1.40 to win a dollar if you buy it from four down to three, the key number of three. What I was just talking with Vinny about, Michael, is if you're a Rams bettor and a Rams believer and you're going to be betting money line, hold off. I think you could see a 175. We've got it 190. Yeah. It got all the way up to two. But as you just mentioned, with that Bengal love coming in, I think that money line for the Rams is going to dip. So if you could get 175-ish and just an outright win, this is for new bettors, as opposed to paying $1.45-ish on three, it makes a hell of a lot more sense just to wait for that Rams money line to come down if you really believe in this team.
Right. It does. And if you really believe in the Rams and you think the Rams can win by, let's say you think the Rams can win by a touchdown, you know, I keep asking myself, where would I be if the line was 6.5? Where would I be if the line was 6.5? Would I take the Bengals or would I take the Rams? And at that number, I really think I would probably take the Rams.
Okay. That's good to know.
And so I think you could reverse it the other way. What would it cost you to lay five to the Bengals?
So if you were sitting 6.5, there would still be a decision, which is essentially what you're telling us, is that number at four is off.
I think it's off. I think it's light. I think if the Chiefs were seven, and let's just put things in perspective. Why are the Chiefs seven? and the Rams 4.5. Okay, let's go over it. Let's, instead of comparing the Chiefs to, instead of comparing the Rams to the Bengals, let's compare the Rams to the Chiefs. Rams have just as, their quarterback's playing just as well as Mahomes. They've got just as good of weapons, probably better weapons than the Chiefs do. Offensively, I would say it's 50-50. They can run the ball. They're a little bit different, but I would say it's probably a push. Defensively, the Rams are much better. The Rams are much better defensively.
Absolutely.
In the kicking game, okay, slight edge to Kansas City, but, you know, I would say that. So I think if this line, to me, I think if this was, if it was Kansas City, the Rams, the line would probably be 2.5, 2. It would start working towards the Rams a little bit, I think. And so under that, then why are the Rams only a 4.5-point favorite against a team that was a, that they did? And let's just put it also in there that that 7 looked light at 21-3, and it should have stayed light. You know, they should have been able to continue to score in the second half. A lot of things went right, and a lot of things went wrong. Mahomes played his worst half of football. So that's where I'm coming from. Like, I'm coming from, like, why are the Rams being handicapped on the against the Chiefs? I think they're two very similarly power-rated teams is my point.
Yeah, no, I think it's well said. So, 4.5 down to 4 at most shops. 48.5, we really haven't seen, unless, correct me if you've seen differently, you haven't seen much movement on that total. As far as where it sits now, we have it 48, everybody's 48.5. So it has come down off the opener 49.5 a bit here, maybe a couple shops open 50. But that 48.5 has been pretty consistent.
Yeah, I think to me, there's a sense of me, then this is where I get to right and left brain working against me, is I think there has to be a pace to this game. I think if you're Zach Taylor, you want to be able to, you've controlled the ball for 32 and some minutes through this playoff game. Your defense has only played 28 minutes. That's really good. But if you're the Rams, you've controlled this football 35 minutes, and your defense has really only played 26 minutes and change, basically. You know, and so it's pace of the game that works in your favor.
Yeah.
And you know one thing, Zach Taylor can make, they're going to make some points even if they move the ball on that field. Now, I know we're going to have to listen to 75,000 pregame shows and all that, but I want to know, to me, I feel like McPherson could probably make a 55-yarder in that stadium with no problem.
Absolutely.
So points are going to get up on that board.
Absolutely. But I just saw this. The gentleman that piloted the 0-16 season for the Detroit Lions, Rod Marinelli, is going to call it a career at 72. We joke about Marinelli as a head coach, but he has been one of the more respected assistants for and teachers of the game for a long time, Rod Marinelli.
Yeah, no doubt. And influential, too. He really helped Eberflus get that job in Chicago through Tony Dungy and Bill Polian. And now, I'm just reading a tweet here today from Woj, and Woj on the NBA Today just said both sides, meaning the Nets and the 76ers, are seriously engaged in discussion and that there's a motivation on both sides to get a deal done.
Now, Woj, you would say we put the most credence in what he has to say. I know there's some...
Him or Shams. Yeah, I listen to either one of those. I mean, I think the one guy's on a payroll, so I don't listen to him as much. I won't mention his name, but, you know, I mean, I think that this is what's good. Now, I think they're getting one thing about Woj, he gets it from both sides. He can speed dial Maury and he can speed dial Marks, and they're going to take his call immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, some other agents are kind of linked to Clutch, and that's how they get their information.
I guess I haven't
asked
you.
So that's a spin. That's the spin that you know, we have to get through. And a little bit of this betting, too, and let's tie it back to the Super Bowl here. There is a spin on this Bengal team.
Absolutely.
That they have been really the games, they've been in control. And when you watch the tape and you talk to people around the league who have watched the tape, you know, that I have talked to, the Bengals have really been very fortunate.
I haven't asked you directly, as a 76er guy, would you want Harden?
You know, I'm a little bit worried about Harden in the sense that, you know, if you have to you got to sign him to this mega deal. The window's closing on Embiid. There's no doubt. I mean, how much? 3 years more. So you're basically saying for 3 years we're going to try to make a run at a title. You probably have to do that. I would hope they wouldn't give up a player like Thybulle, who I think really helps them. I don't see why they have to give up more than Simmons for him, because the guy's saying he doesn't want to be there anyway. So you're going to have to call the bluff. You know, if you have to throw Curry in there, so you throw Curry in there. But, you know, you're going to have to kick back Marks or somebody to play point. They're going to have to kick back somebody because they have no guards on the roster right now. So we shall see. Apparently, Doc Rivers gave the team off today and basically said it's in the best interest, and it's kind of a personal thing to not have the players here on the court, and it's a human element, which I understand.
Yeah, I think that he's good with that. Doc has always been good with that. And they're not playing tonight, obviously. The Nets, the problem here, I see tripping this up, is the Nets want two or three pieces in addition to Simmons. And, of course, number one is Maxey, and they're not getting Maxey. Tybal's a great defender, but, you know, Seth Curry, those are the type of pieces we're talking about. And I think that's probably what's tripping them up a little bit, wouldn't you say?
I think they're playing a game of chicken, right? I mean, the Sixers saying, look, it's Simmons, you know, and that's it. You know, it's Simmons and that's it. And they're saying, you got to get more. You got to, you know, who's going to buckle? And if you're the Sixers, who you know through back channels, not that they've tampered, I'm not accusing that, through back channels that Harden wants out. And it was just so timely how Harden's came out with it today, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that just so perfectly timed, right? I mean, this is truly black ops at its finest. But anyway, it came out right at the right time to then nudge this thing. And if you're Marks, you're sitting there saying, okay, the best I can do is Simmons. You know, you're probably saying, throw me something else. Throw me a one, you know, throw me something. You might get more to do that. I just can't imagine that he's, you know, they're not getting Thybulle, that's for sure. I mean, they've made that abundantly clear.
I don't know. But if in the history of the association, if we're going to have two teams, the Nets and Wizards tonight, two teams more detached collectively in the history of the league.
Oh my God.
Like the Nets aren't going to be mentally
on that game.
The Nets aren't going to be there mentally. The Wizards are completely falling apart. There's infighting amongst the team. The first year coach there hasn't been able to settle. And the Wizards are going to, you know, they're laying three right now at a couple of books. How about that, Nets? You're second betting favorite, or were last week.
And the Nets are the betting favorite to win. Now, they're saying that it's Thybulle has to be in the package. We shall see. Who plays?
Yeah. My guess is it's Thybulle and Curry, because they need a three-point shooter as well, the Nets. I don't know. You don't have to guess. You can just text Maury, and we can come back with the answer. Look at him smiling. Just help me out. All right, we come back. Get that smile ready, because Amal Shaw is going to join us next here at Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you have questions about the Super Bowl, are you wondering how to hedge? Maybe you're looking for some unusual props or insights from one of our hosts. The VSiN Big Game Help Desk is here for you. You can submit your questions right now at VSiN.com/Super Bowl, and it could be answered by our experts on air or at VSiN.com. Right now, manning the desk at the help desk is Amal Shaw, as we welcome you back. Say hi, Michael Lombardi there.
I wonder how he is with customer relations. You think, Kamal, are you being nice to these people calling in? Are you saying hello? How are you? Can I do anything
Michael,
more for
I'm
you?
I'm going to tell you right
survey?
Now.
Will you take the survey after we hang up and tell them how wonderful I am?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the best you've ever seen at customer service and customer relations. Patrick Maher can attest to that. He understands. I understand people.
Everything does.
In life is about reciprocity. You have to have the ability to get along, to go along in situations. I come along on this show. I'm cantankerous. I give you a hard time. But I enjoy it. That's part of the reason why you guys enjoy having me on. But when it comes to making money, it's all about people and customer service. You know, consider me the win experience.
I love it. I'm all for you. I'll fill out the survey, too. I'll be more than happy to take the survey for you, Amal. There's no doubt.
Michael, if you're dissatisfied with this performance, send me a text afterwards. We'll work on improving it so next Thursday it's even better after the Rams win the game.
I'm never nervous about your performance. I enjoy it tremendously. Congratulations to Mike Shine. Here we go. The Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers are finalizing a trade, sending James Harden for Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, and draft picks. This is from Shams. Breaking news right here.
Okay. We thought it might go down. It has gone down. I just quickly want to say, people, we like to have fun with Amal. Whether you're Michael Lombardi or you're sitting behind the glass, Amal Shaw will get your name, he'll remember you, and he's kind to everybody. So let me get that out of the way. He wouldn't say it. I will. Now, the trade. Let's start with the Nets' perspective, getting Thibault, getting Simmons, and a couple of draft picks, Amal Shaw.
Hold on one second. I've got to update it. Andre Drummond, now this is from Woj. The Brooklyn Nets are trading James Harden to the 76ers for Simmons, Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round draft picks.
Amal, your response.
Wow. First of all, Patrick, thank you for the kind words. I'll tell you what, this is interesting. I do think it improves Philadelphia because now you have an asset that's going to be available on the floor. I don't like giving up Matisse Thybulle. Guys, I was a big fan of his when he came out of UW. I love a player that's defensive focused because we can find everybody in the NBA that wants to
play
offense.
They didn't know Amal. They didn't. He's not in the deal.
I thought Thybulle was in the deal.
That's on me. I read it to you. It's Curry, Simmons, and Drummond, along with draft picks.
Gotcha.
I don't like the loss of the shooter. I like Seth Curry as a shooter. I know he's not going to, obviously he gets compared to Steph and Dell, but those guys are elite all-time shooters. But I think Seth Curry is a terrific player. He's really developed his game and really improved throughout his career. The one thing I got to give Daryl Morey credit, and this is part of my argument, Michael, sometimes when we've had discussions about counterpoints regarding the front office, I thought he did a tremendous job of holding the line, because if you acquiesce in this situation, I think long-term it's detrimental to how you run your franchise. They didn't give in to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons ended up losing a lot of money this year. Now he goes to Brooklyn. What's going to be interesting to see is you're playing in a real pressure cooker there. Michael, you're in the New York, New Jersey area. Patrick, you've lived in New York City. For people that don't understand the New York media, it's nothing like anywhere else you've ever experienced in your life. And a team that's expected to win an NBA title, how does he deal with it? This is not Melbourne where you're going to pat you on the back if you go for 2 points and four assists and miss 9 shots, and including 6 at the free throw line.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, he's got to get toughened up. I mean, like, does he actually think the people in Brooklyn are going to just welcome him when he won't play and he doesn't really do, you know, give the effort? I mean, at the end of the day, and I've been a huge Ben Simmons fan. So I defended him, you know, and I love this talent. I watched him practice one day and I was just amazed at how fast and athletic he was and all the things he did. But at the end of the day, when really push comes to shove, he's just not the most competitive person at all, and he doesn't compete, he retreats. You can't compete to retreat. And I think that's the essence of the problem. His whole inability to deal with the Philly media or any media is he doesn't want to compete, he wants to retreat.
By the way, Patrick, make a note of this, 10-20 on February 10th, I thought Michael made a great point. And you're absolutely right in terms of his inability to be competitive. I had a friend of mine who coached in the SEC. He said to me when he saw Ben Simmons in high school, he was the best player he had seen since LeBron. But the problem he thought he had would have in the NBA was, if you're as good as he is at that size, we're not talking about a small guard here. We're talking about a big-time power forward who could play the point forward position, should have been able to lead LSU to double-digit wins in the NCAA tournament. They struggled, and I know Johnny Jones wasn't a great coach. But my point is that you brought up, and I think it's excellent, he doesn't have that competitive greatness. I think that's one of the most important things, and you know this as a GM, former player personnel guy. That's what you look for. Everybody can play when you get to the NFL. Everybody can play in the NBA. But it's the minor things that distinguish you. And I think being able to compete at a level that you just don't want to lose. That's the thing we always talk about, the essence of Michael Jordan, Rafael Nadal, guys who don't want to lose. I think that's so important. You know, it's easy for a guy when he gets a paycheck. And sometimes I said this about Anthony Davis last night, talking to a friend after the way Anthony Davis was so cavalier substituting into a game last night, didn't even make it in time for them to buzz him in on the substitution. That when a guy gets a paycheck like Ben Simmons does he still have that drive? And, Michael, to your point, I don't know if he does.
Well, I just hope his mental health issues are better today. I really do. I send that with sincere hope that he's able to now turn the corner and he can go and see what he does. But I can tell you this. Here's the reality. He got an alpha male in that huddle. You know, it may not be the coach who's clapping, but it is going to be – Durant. It will be Durant. I mean, Durant's going to be it's funny. We drafted a corner in the third round named Tim McIre from Texas Arlington when they used to play. And Tim McIre would run out of the – he could cover with the best of them. He ended up starting as a rookie, played a lot of years in the league. But Tim was never the toughest guy, and he really didn't like contact. And if it was coming his way, he'd conveniently find a way to get out of the contact. And I can never forget Ray Rhodes, and we were talking about it, and Ray Bob says to me, that's what we used to call Ray Rhodes, we called him Ray Bob. Ray Bob said, you know, Ronnie won't let him get out of the way. I said, what are you talking about, Ray? He said, Ronnie's going to make him tackle. The peer pressure of Ronnie Lott was going to make this kid tackle. Now, will Durant's peer pressure make Simmons? Because Simmons coming into a new culture, he's not part of the culture. So and this is why Butler couldn't make him do it. He got offended by Butler because it was his team. It ain't his team going to Brooklyn. That's going to be a huge difference to examine.
I think that's an excellent point, Michael. And Patrick, to Michael's point, look, if Durant can't get to him, I'm sure Durant's burner account will.
Well, you better check that burner account to see what he thinks. The Sixers gave up a protected pick in like 2027 and an unprotected pick in 2022, which obviously that'll be out of the top list.
I got a question for both of you guys. Do you think Harden helps this team enough to be able to win now? Because now with a big man and the Harden's capability offensively, I know he's not had a tremendous season compared to what he's done in the past, but this guy is an elite scorer. There's no question about that.
Here's the question. Who's the better couple, Rich Paul and Adele or Daryl Morey and James Harden? I kid.
I think it's hard.
I kid.
I think to me, if you watch the Sixers as closely as I have, even though I've been on furlough and we've separated for a while, even when they were good with Embiid, the last 5 minutes of the game were always difficult. Because when the ball went into Embiid, he got doubled. He had to kick it out to somebody. Now it's a whole different game. Now it's a completely different game. It's you're talking pick and roll. You're talking this guy can hit from anywhere. And at the end of the game, Embiid's going to benefit from this guy being on the court. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The last 4 minutes of a game, I think this is where Harden's going to make the biggest difference.
Amal, I think the piece here is Seth Curry. 76ers are going to miss him. And listen, Joe Harris might need another ankle surgery. And by the way, if Joe Harris could make a three last year against Milwaukee, they would have advanced. I think Seth Curry's huge for a team that needs three-point shooting.
Patrick, I don't disagree if he's healthy.
Yeah,
I said that when we came on. I said I don't like the addition of Seth Curry in this trade. I think he's totally too important to what the Philadelphia 76ers can do. But I'll tell you what, guys, this is going to be a fascinating series if we get Brooklyn and Philadelphia in the postseason. The other question I have real quick is Ben Simmons in game shape? Is he going to be ready? I understand we're only in mid-February, but still, are you going to be ready to be able to carry the load and carry the mail when it comes time in that postseason? I would just love to see the revenge factor for him if they're playing the 76ers in the postseason. That would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
You did say it at the beginning, the Seth Curry piece. The Nets need three-point shooting. Listen, Harris might have to have that ankle surgery. Who knows when he's returning? That's a big piece. By the way, just want to tell you
Amal. Management is here. Bill AD is here. So is Brian Musburger. And they've let me know that they got a VIP table for you tonight at the Betting and Beers event here at the South
Point. It's Friday.
No, I said tomorrow. Yeah. So, Amal, I want you to know you got your own table here. So
I appreciate the invitation. I'll be driving for Uber at that time. I won't be able to make it.
Sorry. Okay. Well, listen, congratulations to you. Your partner had a baby. What do you think about that?
Wonderful news for him and his wife, and they're both doing well. 8-pound baby girl. Congratulations to Mike and Danica.
Congratulations to, yes, it is a beautiful name. Thank you, Amal. Who are you hosting with today?
Femi.
Femi and Amal coming up next. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll come back, talk more about the big trade. Harden on his way to Philadelphia.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you know, VSiN is the best place to get all of your betting insights for the big game, and there's still time to sign up for our free big game betting guide. The digital guide gives you trends, strategies, props to watch, tips from our experts. Visit VSiN.com/Super Bowl to get your free guide and get ready for the biggest football betting action of the year. It's VSiN.com/Super Bowl. It's incredible. Also, VSiN is the place for breaking news, and Michael Lombardi had it for you here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Of course, the 76ers are acquiring, again, James Harden on his way to reunite with Mr. Morey. The other way, Simmons, Seth Curry, and a couple of picks, Michael. We're going to bring in Josh for some updated numbers on the two teams, the Nets and, of course, the 76ers. But as this settles in, your overall feelings as far as Harden becoming a 76er?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. Look, Seth Curry was a really good addition to their team. I don't think he's been healthy much of this year. After he got COVID, you know, he's Doc's son-in-law, which makes it makes it harder for him. But I think ultimately you've got to put something in the deal. They didn't give up Thibault, which I thought was critical because he can play defense, and they didn't give up Maxey, which they weren't going to do. So they've still got a young nucleus around it. But the time is now. The time is you've got to capitalize on the season that Embiid's had. And getting Simmons out of there in terms of now they have at least a chance to compete. And, and if he gets in shape and he wants to play, which is what happened when he first went to Brooklyn, you know, he looked terrible in Houston. And then all of a sudden he turned it on when he got to Brooklyn. So we'll see how his hamstring is. But look, I think this, you know, with Durant and Simmons, you got two 6'11 guys that can move like crazy. Is what will Simmons do when it becomes a half-court game? You know, remember, Simmons, 3 years ago when Brett Brown was still the coach, he got replaced in a playoff game, in a playoff series with T.J. McCollum because they couldn't play T.J. McConnell. They couldn't play him at point, you know. And then the next year, Butler became the point, and then they got rid of Butler, you know. And so, like, what's going to happen come playoff time when it really matters most? Will this guy be able to run a half court? The ball's going to go to Durant, but the spacing is going to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah,
they've got to get a backup center too. I mean, the Sixers have this. I don't think the Sixers have done. I think they actually took Paul Millsap in this deal, you know, on a minimum contract because they had to balance the numbers between Harden and Simmons and everybody else.
Okay, well done and good job breaking it. As we welcome in Josh Applebaum, of course, Market Insights Betting Across America, and we'll take a look at the market as far as the impact of this trade. What's so fascinating is you've got the Nets, either your betting favorite or second betting favorite as far as a championship, and they're catching 2.5 tonight at Washington. This league is insane. Josh, hi, and some updates. How you doing?
Patrick, Michael, doing great. Great to be with you. And yeah, you know, we saw some of these early trickle trades with come in, you know, with obviously McCollum and a couple of these other ones. But this is the big one, obviously, that's moving the market. So just to reiterate, Harden now going to reunite with Morey, going to Philadelphia for Simmons, Curry, Drummond, and 2 first-round picks. What we've seen across the market, guys, obviously is an adjustment based on this big trade. So the 76ers see their title odds improve bigly here, guys. They were plus 1,200 going into today to win the NBA title. Now they're down to plus 550. But also the Nets have been taking a bit of a dip here. They were plus 350 prior. Now they're plus 425. But they're still the favorite here to win the NBA title. You have the Nets plus 425. Warriors plus 450. Suns plus 500. And then you get the 76ers plus 550. All these numbers from BetMGM. So you still have the favorite of the Nets, guys. But really an improvement here with the 76ers bringing in Harden, obviously. And kind of a coin flip here to win the East a little bit. You have now the Sixers plus 240 to win the East, and you have the Nets plus 210. So obviously a big move that's really having huge ramifications across the market.
You know what's fascinating about this trade, guys, is the fact that Harden, Irving, and Durant played, I think, a total of 16 games in their career in Brooklyn together. Think about that.
Yeah, they never played together. All three of them
They never really played together. I mean, it was almost like it was, 364 minutes, 16 games.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It really is. And it's also fascinating to Josh's point with the updated market, Michael, like the fact that these two are having such a direct impact and they're your betting favorites coming out of the East. It's a fascinating trade.
I definitely think, look, there's no doubt that the Irving thing is really the separation between the teams. If Irving's on this team and, with Simmons, they're going to be a better defensive team. There's no doubt. And if Kyrie is on there, but he can't play at home because he won't get vaccinated, so that doesn't help him. And, the Sixers have improved offensively around Embiid. There's no doubt. And as I've said, I think ultimately at the end of the day, when the Sixers have these leads and they need to make a play, they have a legitimate scorer who can put the ball in the basket from anywhere on the court, which is going to help Embiid, because in the past they've really never had to do that. And, they had a way to watch Tobias Harris dribble around and do all that. They're going to have to move some more pieces here to get a backup center and do that. We'll see what happens. But to me, it's the timing was right, and you got to give Morey a ton of credit for holding on, knowing that he was back-channeling this thing all along to get Harden here. He couldn't get Harden originally because the Houston didn't want to trade it to him. Now he did.
I don't know if the air is different, but my guess is Harden's hamstring from Brooklyn to Philly will get much better
time. So will Simmons will probably get to the therapist this afternoon and get cleared.
Good therapy. Good therapy in Brooklyn. Yeah. Yes.
Have a good session, talk it through, and go from there.
Okay. It's fascinating. We were wondering if this was going to happen, if it was posturing, but it is true. So Harden's on his way to Philly, and Ben Simmons, along with Seth Curry and some picks, and Drummond on their way to the Nets, Josh. So this is huge. And, we kind of were piecing, Josh, you said it well, we were piecing together some of the smaller trades that have happened, but this is where we've all been looking to this exact trade.
Exactly. And, here I am in Boston waiting to see if Marcus Smart's going to get dealt. That's a big rumor floating here, but kind of weird the way this went down. Again, Harden in 2 years, all wanted out of two different teams. So again, does that rub people the wrong way? We shall see. I kind of like this deal for the Nets, guys, because Simmons is a guy, again, we all remember he didn't want to shoot that layup that kind of ran him out of town, but now you're going to play with, Durant and Kyrie. They're going to lift these mask restrictions here in New York pretty soon. So Kyrie should be able to play. And now you got a guy who probably doesn't want to shoot, and he doesn't have to. Look at the Celtics in 2008. They had to sacrifice and kind of each give up some few shots here. I don't know if they wanted to do that with the big three with the Nets. Now you got a guy who's going to defend, who's going to facilitate, and isn't relied upon to take shots. Again, the big move is the Sixers going from plus 1,200 to plus 550. But the Nets, maybe a better team, more well-rounded here with Simmons going to the Nets.
The question is, and great job with the numbers, Josh. The question, Michael, I think you put it well. You got an alpha in Durant. Well, yeah. The interaction with he and Simmons was good. Simmons is going to be on his best behavior. That's how this type of thing works.
His team. It's not like he's not the big dog. I mean, he's walking into Durant's team. And Durant's going to be able to dictate terms. I mean, he's not going to mess around with it. And so, once he tries to do that, it's going to be the end of his career. So I think ultimately, he's got to acquiesce to Durant. And Durant's going to demand that he plays and competes and doesn't take nights off and kind of doesn't, fall apart when the pressure gets tough. And at the end of the day, without Kyrie, what are they going to be like in a half-court set come playoff time? It'll be fine when they play the Magic. It'll be fine, just like it was fine for the 76ers. You know, whenever they play against a team that they could do what they needed to do and Simmons could. But once you watch him in the playoffs, he's a completely different player in the playoffs based on the style of play that's going on. And so I think that's really going to be the what we're going to see moving forward.
Yeah, well put. So great job by both of you with the trade. Seven games association tonight, Josh. Maybe the biggest game of the year. You got the rematch of the finals in Phoenix. I think the Bucks are undervalued here. I think this is a great spot for the Bucks. They're catching three. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, Patrick, the market agrees with you because you look at the Suns here. They open as around a 4-point favorite, 3.5-point favorite. Kind of split down the middle. Public doesn't know what to do. It's a tough one. You got the defending champs here against the Suns, who have the best record in the NBA, and they're at home and they're laying a short number. So kind of split here. Yeah, we are seeing that movement toward the Bucks. Again, they've been playing great. You're getting points. How do you pass that up? My only caveat here, guys, would be you have an insane trend going on right now in the NBA. It's kind of unbelievable. If you look at in the month of February, favorites, chalk favorites in the month of February in the NBA, they're 46-20 against the spread, 70%. This has been unbelievable. It really hasn't mattered, Patrick. You know, home road, what number you're laying. We've seen these favorites really, really roll. Does that have something to do with the trade deadline and, you know, the good teams gearing up, the bad teams maybe giving up? But for whatever reason, again, if you're betting the Suns, I think you're banking on this favorite trend to continue. But it does look like the market is moving toward the Bucks here.
Lean from you, Michael. If I told you the Bucks were catching three, Suns laying it, what way would you go tonight?
I think I would, you know, I think I would. I think the Suns are going to play like crazy. I'm not sure the Bucks are going to be able to match. I mean, there's some missing pieces in the Bucks because of DiVincenzo. They're not going to have their whole team. So I would lean towards the Suns here.
Yeah, no Shamit, no campaign for the Suns tonight. But I think your point is well taken. Two teams that don't really take their foot off the gas, so we should get a good competitive battle tonight in Phoenix. In the Valley, as they say, Josh Applebaum. Okay, market insights, VSiN.com/podcast. And, of course, coming up later with Pritch on Betting Across America. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck tonight.
Okay, good job with the market update there. The big trade. We'll have more on that coming back. Harden is a 76er. And some food. We got a great point spread weekly bit here with the best food to eat in L.A. We'll tell you. It's coming back here, Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Go for a huge score during the big game with BetMGM. Simply download the BetMGM app, place a $10 moneyline wager on pro football's final game. If either team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets, regardless of your wager's outcome. You have to use that bonus code SB200 over at BetMGM when you make your first bet. Also, you're going to earn some BetMGM reward points you can redeem for room nights, dining at any MGM resort nationwide, only at BetMGM. Again, SB200 for the code. All promotions are subject to qualification eligibility requirements. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. So the huge news on this February 10th, it's a Thursday, James Harden is headed to Philly. Mike and Michael Lombardi, the one place that he would go that makes sense just because they could re-up with him, right? The danger of trading for Harden at this point is not that you could get a boost from him this year, but he's a free agent. So Morey must feel very comfortable that he can get him to re-up.
No doubt. And I think that when you add up what they paid, it's interesting. I've got to do this. I haven't had time because we're doing the show. But what Brooklyn paid to get Harden and what they paid to get him back, I mean, essentially that's going to be and to ship them out, that's going to be a fascinating kind of comparison to do. Is, you know, we gave up this to get them, and now we're getting this back to get rid of them. Yeah. And are we better off for the adventure? And I think that's what you're asking yourself: are we better off for this? Did we really improve our team, or should we have just stayed off to the sideline? But yet, I think what's at 146 my time, you know, and so I think that there's still a little bit of time left before all these pieces for either team are going to fall into place. I mean, obviously, they wanted a backup center with Drummond. The 76ers take Millsap. Is he their backup center? He's more of a power forward than he is a center. So I don't know how all these other moves are going to kind of play themselves out. Doc was complaining they needed a guard because the Milton's got a rib injury, and where are they going to go with that? So, you know, I don't know where else they're moving. There was a lot of conversation that Patty Mills was going to be in the deal. He obviously wasn't.
I think you put it well. Does this end up for Brooklyn being a net gain or a net loss? That we'll have to pour through that trade to kind of.
You got
to
go through it.
Yeah.
You got to really look at it. Did we and all the money we spent on this, was it worth it? You know, and now we inherit this contract, and we're stuck with him and see how he does. I feel like the one thing I would say is I talked about that Tim McCyer story and Ronnie Lott. I do think that the Simmons, his day of being the lead dog, his day of being the pampered player are over, especially in Brooklyn with Durant there. Now, if Durant leaves and it all changes, and what kind of influence is Kyrie Irving on him? I don't know all those things, but his day of being, you know, this is my program. I'm part of the process. You know, isn't it interesting how the process has all come down to the trade? You know, really.
The process is in Brooklyn. The process is now half in Brooklyn. Let me just get this straight, just for listeners just tuning in here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So Brooklyn has traded to the 76ers. Obviously, Brooklyn has traded Harden to the 76ers for Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first rounders in the NBA draft. So that is the trade. We knew that Brooklyn was trying to recoup some more pieces than just Simmons. And you keep Maxey, you keep the defensive stopper and Thybulle, but the Seth Curry miss is going to be big. Seth Curry is a tremendous shooter.
He is, but, you know, not a great defender. When you watch him play against, you know, when you watch them against the Hawks last year, and everything in the NBA should be measured by what happened in the playoffs, right? Because it's a completely different game. They try harder. They play deep. It's all different, right? When you watch him, the Hawks were going, whoever they put him on, you know, whether it was Herter, whomever it was, they were going after him, and they were successful. I think the difference here is, for people that haven't watched much of the 76ers, is Maxey. You know, he's shooting almost 40% from the three-point line. He can penetrate to the rim as good as anybody. And, I mean, truly, he playing off, letting Harden almost play the point, is going to help. Now, their pace probably won't improve, because I don't think Brooklyn's pace last year when Harden was there was very good. But their pace isn't going to improve. But with Maxey, they have another outside shooter, assuming he can continue to shoot at this almost 39% rate, and they get an incredible penetrator. They're going to be hard to defend in a half-court set with Harden spacing to Embiid and Maxey's penetration.
Maxey may be my favorite player, and here's why. He's the antithesis of Simmons. That dude's motor, I mean, he is aggressive. He's into it. He's competitive. He wants to win more than anybody on the court. I love Maxey. Maxey would have been a no-go for me. Oh, no chance am I moving on from Maxey.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when I read this, I was really taken by him. He wears zero because there's no excuses. Zero excuses. That's why he wears the number zero. You know, and I think he's worked on his game and he's improved. And, you know, he's not ball dominant in what he can do because of his ability. He's not a spot shooter. You know, like Curry was always a spot shooter. I love Curry. I think Curry was a great addition. Trading him for Josh Richardson, I think, was Morey's one of his better moves. Josh Richardson, by the way, he's on the move today, too. He's getting sent to San Antonio for, I think, Derek White. I think that's the deal that's coming through on that. But to me, I mean, they're going to be a better half-court team. There's no doubt. They're going to be a better team offensively when playoff time comes around. And ultimately, that's the true test. That's the true measure.
Harden is one of three players ever with 3,000 points in the postseason and no NBA championships. He's averaging 22.5 in 10.2 as far as dimes this year. I mean, he's an all-time great, you know. And he, like, what you like about this at this stage of the year is if you're the Nets, you're getting best behavior Simmons, and if you're the 76ers, you're getting uber-motivated Harden. Whether that continues for years to come, I don't know, but you are getting that in this pocket this year.
Yeah, and I think ultimately he'll make the other thing I think he'll do is that he'll make Embiid even better.
Absolutely.
I think he'll make Embiid better, which is ultimately what this has all been about. And so give Morey credit for holding on, because remember, everybody said after the playoffs they weren't that his value went way down, that Simmons' value had no value, that you're going to be lucky to get anything for him. And Morey basically did a great job of being patient. You know, one of the things I learned from many of the things I learned from Al Davis, but one of them specifically is Al never loved to make decisions. So he hid behind patience, which ended up really being the virtue. When he made the Gruden trade, he knew Gruden was trying to get out. He knew Gruden was trying to, every team was his favorite team, Notre Dame, Ohio, all that. Al just sat there and waited, and ultimately it proved to be effective.
Your point about Harden and getting better, that being the big guy, look, 76er fans, you're going to love watching Harden because he is such an adept passer as well. Like he's great. I mean, he's just a fascinating player. Now there's a lot that comes with him, but just in the short term, the way Embiid and him will play together is fascinating to me because Harden's a great passer.
You know, and I think ultimately, how does Harris fit into this? You know, how does he all fit into this? Because, you know, is he going to be the spot-up shooter that moves outside? How does it all work with him? You know, he seems to be the guy that's on, because he's now the fourth best player in the starting lineup to me. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Embiid, you got Harden, you got Maxey, and now you got him. You know, and so, and they've not been a very good rebounding team, partly because they lost one of their better rebounders in Simmons.
Yep, you nailed it. And look, we're not making light in any way of mental health or anything like that, but it is going to be fascinating that from Philly to Brooklyn, all of a sudden he's going to be good to go. You watch.
Well, he's already came out and said this. He's already said that he's going to go see his, this, I'm not making this up. He's going to go see his therapist and he feels he's doing much better. I mean, come on. We all know what it is. I mean, you know, this was all about not getting fined. I mean, you know, and I'm okay with it. I mean, I think you just have to understand it.
Oh, yeah, I think you said it.
I mean,
best.
Here's what Ramona Shelbourne, this is from her tweet today. Ben Simmons will continue to work with his therapist to get mentally ready to play in Brooklyn. It's a work in progress, according to one source close to him. But he's thrilled with the change of scenery, and he's already spoken to Kevin Durant. Wish him well.
So people really struggling. Listen, I'm not going to say anything.
It's not fair.
Yeah, I think you said it best, and I'll leave it.
That's all you have to say. It's not fair, but we'll go on.
So, well,
yeah,
we started the show. Will they or won't they?
I didn't think it was going to happen.
We called it
really
Harden
didn't.
Watch, and over the next two hours, we got a trade.
I think I owe the big man Windhorse. I think we owe him an apology. He said it was going to happen. He was right yesterday. Woj kind of threw cold water all over it. You know, and now it did happen. I mean, look, I think the Nets came to the realization that, and they made a hell of a deal for themselves when they felt like this guy's not going to sign with us. Once that came out today, that, you know, the way they couched it, I think it made Sean Marks have to make a move. And there's still an hour to go.
It was almost too perfect. Both teams needed to do something, and it made too much sense. So you thought it might not happen. You know what I mean? It was almost too perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure the Sixers waited to make sure Millsap got in the deal. I'm sure that was the key for them.
Fun show. And
yeah, great.
Congratulations to your Sixers.
We'll see. We shall see.
A tepid response from Mr. Sixer there, Michael Lombardi. Okay, we'll
Thank
do it again
you,
tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow,
we
Michael.
We got Friday, yes,
yep,
let's do
Friday
it.
Friday coming up, M. Lombardi NFL Odds On with Femi and Amal coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.